And welcome to episode 76 of Unsocial Spectators.
This is where we play The Boys Are Back in Town. We're back after some technical difficulties.
So we don't have the intro or the outro because my hard drive crashed, so we're fucked.
We can come up with a new one.
No, but this is fine.
Yeah, yeah. We don't need all the bells and whistles.
So this week we watched The Bird with the Crystal Plumage from 1970. What'd you think about it?
It just felt like it was always tense. I mean, I dug it, but it was like every scene felt like dun, 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 you know, I mean, he's, you know, got the music. Every scene was just like spotlighting some moment or something. And plus the gore, you know, I think the best piece is the wall that falls on the guy near the end with all the protruding. I don't know if they were spears or what, but just fall on him. And then the killer, I won't spoil it for anyone who wants to watch it, is just standing on top of it. Like, but I dug it.
Yeah, it's a cool fucking movie.
Yeah, it's Argento, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was his first movie.
From what I read, it was based on a book. He didn't like the story. He just kept the title and made it his own thing.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. It's not my favorite Argento, but it's worth checking out.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
I mean, probably Suspiria.
Which I have not seen.
Well, you need to remedy that.
Yeah, that's what Shelby and I've talked about. But it's like you almost have to be in a mood for one of his movies.
Yeah, but definitely check it out. And, I mean, he's done a lot of great ones, so.
Yeah.
So what else have you been watching?
Well, after you recommended Grand Crew, I, like, sped through first and second season and then got to, I think there's 10 episodes of the second season when it stops, and then found out it was canceled.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it was really, I mean, it's like a millennials, I want to say Friends, but it's not really like Friends. It's just a group that hangs out that, like, in the first episode, they have a hangout spot. Then they kind of have to leave that place and they find this place where they get into wine. So they go to this wine bar and I knew Echo Kellum, from Arrow. He played Mr. Terrific. And I know Nicole Byer from Nailed It, and she's a comedian, has done stand up and other stuff. So I knew some of the cast, but it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I finished that too. Yeah, really good. It's too bad they canceled it, but these streaming services, they don't, if they go to a third season, they have to give them more money.
Oh, so that's the ticket.
One of the reasons why they go a few seasons and cancel is they don't have to give them as much of a raise.
Fucking assholes, man. So it's just usually, like someone comes up with an idea, they hope it works. Then when it does work, they don't want to pay them, so they'll limit them to just two seasons. And they don't even have to have, like they only had 10 episodes of that last season.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Man. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's a comedy that would have been on Thursday nights, NBC, must-see TV. And I totally agree.
I mean, I like it. There's no laugh track. You know, it's not bullshit sitcom shit, you know?
Yeah. What else have you been watching? Oh,
I watched Hangman with Al Pacino and Carl Urban.
I don't know this.
And it was okay, you know? I had a good time. It's worth watching if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely check it out. It's not the best Pacino, but it's still good.
It's free on Plex, and I always love Carl Urban.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's always good. Then I watched The Devil and Daniel Johnston.
Oh. That is a great movie.
Yeah, I'd seen Daniel Johnston a couple of times.
Yeah, down in Austin?
Yeah.
I had watched this a while back, and I didn't really know about him. When I saw you were watching it, I was like, oh, I need to check this out again. I haven't seen it in a while, and it's free on Tubi. But it's just a great story about this musician down in Austin who was kind of in the scene.
Yeah, and he had mental problems, you know.
Yeah.
And which a lot of musicians do, I suspect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have the long history of suicides or deaths at 27.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a myth. There's just been a lot of famous ones that died at 27, but they died at all ages.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why they have Behind the Music, because you have like so many stories of ODing and drug problems that, you know, anytime someone talks about like Behind the Music, I always go to the Motley Crue one, because I remember seeing the PSA they did about Neil, fuck, what's his name?
Vince Neil
doing the PSA about drugs, because he had been on drugs when he had like killed his best friend in a car accident.
Yeah, I've met Vince Neil. He's kind of an asshole.
Before or after plastic surgery?
After.
Ugh. He has a weird face now.
Yeah, definitely does, but he's just full of himself. And I mean, when you go through all the bullshit of groupies and all that stuff, you think a lot of yourself, you know?
Yeah, because wasn't it in Tommy Lee's book where they talked about how they were in a bet to see how many women they could sleep with without having to take a bath or a shower for the longest time? Yeah, just because it was just demeaning to these women.
Well, they didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Ahsoka?
You know, I dug it, but this last episode, like, it's a slow build. But this last episode, the ending, spoilers for Ahsoka, I think it's episode 4. Seeing Anakin at the end, and it was a wonky CGI Anakin.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. It was really bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, he was de-aged like insanely.
Yeah, and then it looked like his face glitched too. But you know what's I mean, what's weird about that though is because you only get to see these other streaming services, they can go back and fix that and tweak things, and you never know, you know.
Right.
They're just now offering physical media for some of their streaming only series, like WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier and Loki season 1 are going to be out in Steelbooks soon.
Huh. Yeah, but I thought I'm enjoying the series, but you know, it's a different tone.
Yeah,
than we had.
I like, because it, you know, I want to believe in Dave Filoni, because he's done all these post trilogy series. Like, he did Rebels as a cartoon. He's now brought it to life in Ahsoka. Him and Jon Favreau did Mandalorian, which has been fucking fantastic. Like, the shows he does are so fun, but this has been such a slow build. You know, I like want something more to happen. But now, like, in episode 4, like, you just throw Anakin in for I don't know what reason. You know, I guess we'll find out next episode, but it was a weird ending. And I didn't like that. What's her face? The Mandalorian gave the map back to Ray Stevenson and then like hooks up with the bad guys to leave. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like,
yeah, it was pretty weird.
Yeah. But I'm still going to watch. I'm still on board. I love Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka. One of my favorite interviews is her just talking about like all these different universes now that exist in movies. And she says, I want to be in all of them.
Right. Well, she's been in most of them.
She's been in most of them. She's even been in the Viewisk universe.
Yeah, definitely. Then I saw Outlander.
The old Sean Connery movie?
No, it's a weird... He's an alien, and he lands in during Viking times.
And oh, is this the series?
No, there's a series, but this is the movie.
Okay.
And he brings an alien with him, and they think it's a dragon, and he helps them kill it. It's okay, you know.
Got it, and that's Jim Caviezel and John Hurt in it.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Ron and Coleman.
Then I finished Twisted Metal. Pretty good.
Fun. Now we know that season two will probably be the final season if they get a season two.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're gonna get it. Then I finished Parks and Rec.
Just one of the great all-time sitcoms.
Yeah, just totally fun. Really good. Then I rewatched Red Dawn from 1984.
Oh.
Totally fun.
Yeah.
Totally fun.
Seeing the roughnecks see Thomas Howell. I mean, really, it's a mini Outsiders reunion.
Yeah, but I mean, it's fascism at its best.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty intense. And then I think Powers Booth is probably the best in that.
Yeah, I mean, it's written and directed by John Milius, so.
Oh, yes.
So it's definitely fascist. You know? Then I rewatched Tora, Tora, Tora about the Pearl Harbor invasion.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's cool because it has Japanese directors to film the Japanese side and the American director films the American side.
Oh, cool.
And it was released in 1970. So yeah. It was just 15 years later, you know.
And free on YouTube.
Yeah, that's where I watched it on YouTube. So, yeah, definitely check it out if you've never seen it. Then I watched The Flash.
What did you think?
It was fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it should be.
Just for Michael Keaton is fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird because this has been, like, the worst performing DC film. Like, It like so underperformed even Green Lantern, but it's the funnest.
Well, I think Blue Beetle's pretty bad too.
Oh yeah, I've heard that one's been pretty bad. And that sucks too because that Blue Beetle character is relatively new in the DC universe, and I just heard so many of my friends that were like really hyped for it that wanted to see it, but it was like not. It wasn't big enough for me to get out to the movies to see it, but
right.
So I expect it'll be on Max pretty quickly.
Oh, sure. What else have you been watching?
I finished up the How To with John Wilson season 3 finale. Oh, my God. It's just so good.
Yeah, I'm in season 2 now. I love it.
I won't give away anything that happens in season 3, but how to follow your package when you order something online. Like he talks about in New York, packages being delivered, and halfway through, he ends up at a convention that you would never expect.
Well, so, you never know what that crazy guy is going to do next.
Yeah, because I saw you were watching I think you started season three because you're on episode one, right?
Maybe.
Okay, because that's my favorite episode of the series because it's How to Find a Bathroom in New York.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah, and he ends up at, like, Burning Man halfway through.
Yeah.
And then the guy then he finds out that there was a documentary film team there that wouldn't allow any of his footage out. So he had been at Burning Man, shot all this footage, and then couldn't use it for the show.
Yeah, Burning Man has fucking weird rules. I remember I went to a panel at South by Southwest.
Oh, really?
Where they talked about, you know, if you're taking photos, you have to get them all cleared. And I mean, for it to be this crazy hippie thing, it's just...
It's not that anymore. I think that's what it started out as. And now it's where rich tech bros go and people
bring an RV.
Yeah. And bring, like, you know, it was supposed to be this fully sustainable gathering of people. And now it's like they couldn't even survive like some rain.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty funny. Then I watched A Walk Amongst the Tombstones. Pretty good movie.
What is that one about?
So, sorry. I need to sneeze.
Go for it. Oh, this is Liam Neeson, Dan Stevens, who I'm a big fan of, but David Harbour.
David Harbour.
I'm a fucking huge fan of this guy.
I thought you would want to check it out. It's a pretty good movie.
Got his fucking action figure, the Red Guardian, right here. He's awesome, man. I love David Harbour.
And then I finished Game of Thrones.
So, removed from all the hubbub when people originally watched it, how'd you feel about that ending?
It was fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. I couldn't see what the big deal was.
Well, I think they felt like that this woman who had come from slavery and being a victim her entire time, turning and just lashing out by killing everyone, turned her into more of a villain than her kind of embracing people and giving people a chance, because she had basically freed slaves across all the lands and just used them to wipe out.
But then she turned into a villain, man.
Yeah. I guess people were expecting this happy ending of like, oh, well, she'll marry this guy and they'll unite.
Happy endings, man. Such a terrible thing to wish on a creators.
Well, you know, that's what George R. R. Martin still hadn't finished the show. So this was written by the guys who did the show.
Sure.
And I guess it was received so poorly, like they canceled their Star. They had a Star Wars movie that they were going to do, and Lucasfilm just canceled it.
Well, that's happening every day.
Yeah.
Then I started watching Veep.
Oh yeah, I watched it, but I was just like okay about it.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's something for me to watch if I need a half hour show.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm using it for. What else have you been watching?
I watched the season finale of What We Do in the Shadows.
Uh-huh.
Which was fucking great. This whole season has been about Guillermo he's been a familiar and he's always wanted to become a vampire. So he has a friend who's a vampire turn him into one. And then throughout the season, they've been trying to figure out why he can't fully become a vampire. And it's because he has Van Helsing blood running through him. So he's half vampire slayer, half vampire. And in the finale, they figure out, well, what if he just fully commits and drinks human blood? But the best episode this season was an episode where they took his blood and put it into different animals and was experimenting. So they had these different freakish versions that were half him, half a fish, half him, half a goat, dog. I mean, it was so fucking weird because the show is just typically it, the production is the look, and they went and fully committed to these the makeup and costumes, and they had like little people playing like the dog that's half him. It was great, but the finale was so good, and Patton Oswalt shows up as himself.
Oh, good.
They do great jobs of just having celebrities on who play themselves. And Patton was so great.
Yeah, he's always good.
I watched Hell on the Border. It's free on Tubi. It's about Bass Reeves, and I'm a huge Bass Reeves fan because he was the inspiration for the Lone Ranger.
But oh, okay.
The only complaint I have about this movie is that because it's historically, it's really cool because they're pretty accurate about like him becoming a marshal. He's like the first black marshal in the Southwest. He took down like 3,000 people. But he was a big dude, and the guy they cast was not a big dude. Like Bass Reeves was like 6'3", 250. And this guy seemed like he was maybe 5'10", he wasn't impressive in size, but the things that he did to capture people were similar to what Bass Reeves did, because he used the fact that he was black, and he would be like, he wouldn't use the presence of having a star and being a marshal to capture people. He would act drunk, he would ask for help, and then just take these guys in.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And Ron Perlman's in it, too, and works with him. And so you get to see Ron Perlman because he's always great.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And this last Friday night, Joe Bob did a special on Shudder where he had a big convention, but he had it at a drive-in. And it was, I believe, in Pennsylvania. And they showed Night of the Demons, which is a great 80s horror flick of just kids on Halloween go into this possessed house and they all become possessed and start killing each other. He had a couple of the girls that were in the film who like joked about how little they were paid to be in the movie, you know, and now they're just like, on the con circuit. Leanna Quigley, I think, was one of the girls who was a big video vixen back in the 80s. She would always show up in different music videos as a dancer and shit. But it was a fun movie. And then that got me to build a couple of feeds for Blue Sky. So as everyone has kind of migrating from Twitter to other apps, we had a bunch of Mutant Fam on there tweeting or skeeting, whatever you want to call it, posting comments. And then I watched, I guarantee you. You all right, man?
Yeah. I have allergies.
Oh, yeah. They're really bad right now. I watched, I think, the worst fucking movie I've ever seen in my life.
Well, that's saying a lot.
The Leprechaun's Curse. I think I saw it on the Roku channel. It came out in 2021. The Leprechaun's not even small. It's a tall dude. and he has his hair goes from red to blonde throughout the movie. And they shoot a lot of this movie in a pool. Like there's this indoor pool. And for some reason, the Leprechaun's always at this indoor pool at this house. And it's just a bunch of scenes of people who look like they've never met each other, who are supposed to be old friends going out. And I don't really understand I don't really know what to tell you the plot was, because it's just this leprechaun who kills someone, then is like haunting this house where one of the people is related to him. So they come to the house and they have this pool party, which is really awkward because there's a couple that like make out and they just show them making out a lot. Because that's the only time that they had chemistry together. The leprechaun is got a mask on, but they like cut out the eyes and the mouth so you can see the mouth move and you can see the eyes emote a little. I pushed to get through it just to see, like, maybe something's going to happen. And I could say the only entertaining thing was the fact that the director puts herself in the movie and inserts herself like halfway into the film. And none of it makes sense because apparently she was married to the guy that dies at the beginning. And there's a baby that the leprechaun's after, but they only tell you that at about the halfway mark of the film.
Wow.
And then you had, I rewatched one of my favorite horror films, The Mutilator, which is also, it's also known as Fall Break because the lead song is called Fall Break. And it's this poppy little, you know, I mean, it's a pop rock number in this horror movie that doesn't have the tone of a horror movie. It is, I mean, the people are acting like, you know, comedians and cutting jokes and everything. And it isn't until like probably the last 20 minutes that it turns into a horror film. And it's, I love it, but it's good bad. It has that good bad tone to it because the whole thing is that one of the kids that goes to this these group of kids that go on fall break together, at the beginning you understand that one of the kids accidentally shoots his mom and kills her. Yeah, so it starts off dark. Then it goes into them all like college kids having fun. And this guy, this kid, his dad says, hey, I need you to go clean out the beach house. And so him and his friends all go to the beach house because they have nothing to do for fall break. So they go to the beach house and then this person starts killing them all. And he's not wearing a mask or anything. And it isn't until like the final 5 minutes when the kid who had killed his mom realizes, oh, that's my dad. And that's the movie, and it's so bad, but I love it. The music in it is terrible. It's really fucking fun.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. It's definitely on my list. I watched Eraser.
Oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger, 2006.
No, probably 1996.
Oh, 96. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it was okay. I'd never seen it before, so
definitely. Oh, I didn't know James Caan was in that.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was all right. Yeah. I always avoided it. I heard it was so bad.
No, it's okay. No. I mean, they have handheld rail guns.
Why?
What, the plot?
It made $242 million.
Yeah.
So I knew he was kind of like losing it there in the 90s and like some of his movies weren't as great as his 80s stuff. But he's coming off of True Lies. Like True Lies was the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's definitely worth checking out for free somewhere, you know.
Wow, they did a sequel to this.
Watch that.
Eraser Reborn, starring nobody I know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on Max.
Thanks for the warning.
Unless you want to see a movie starring Dominic Sherwood.
Nope. I'll rewatch The Outsiders.
Oh, yeah. That is a true Gen X film. Even though it was written in the 60s, that movie is just starring all the superstars of the time.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Patrick Swayze.
Tom Hanks is in Outsiders.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Are you fucking for real?
Yes, I am. Emilio Estevez. Patrick Swayze. Matt Damon.
I go Tom. I go Tom Cruise. That's it.
No, that's who I meant.
Okay, because I was like, Cruise. Tom.
No, I'm sorry. I meant Tom Cruise.
Now, Tom
How
Cruise,
do I yeah. get them mixed up?
Yeah. I've read one of Rob Lowe's biographies where he talked about this movie because he was so disappointed that his role was so small in this. He thought this was going to be his biggest role ever. But it's not even about him, you know. It's exactly. about Ponyboy and Johnny and Dallas, like that. It's really them. You just have to have these surrounding characters to get the tone of these greasers and their life.
Yeah, definitely one of our films, you know.
Yeah, and it's neat because the book had become like a mainstay in English classes, so a lot of kids have read it and then searched out this film.
Oh yeah, definitely. Then I watched Matchstick Men.
Oh, I love that movie.
Dude, it's so good.
I haven't watched it in a long time. That's
Nick Cage
and Sam
Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, yes.
Really good film, man.
Really great movie.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. Then I watched The Hunted.
The Hunted.
With Tommy Lee Jones and Benicio del Toro.
Oh, yes.
And directed by William Friedkin.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's really good, man. Not bad at all.
I want to say that I've seen this, but now I'm kind of looking at it like I don't remember this.
Yeah, I think it's 2019 or something.
It says 2003.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Tommy Lee Jones, Benicio del Toro, Connie Nielsen, Jenna
Boyd. It's really good.
Huh.
Yeah, I think it's on Max.
Yeah, it's on Max and Hulu.
You should check it out. It's pretty good. Then I watched Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Yeah. I think that was, you know, before the Scream movies, and he was being meta about Freddy and finding another way to bring him back.
Very, very money grab-ish. Then I watched, I finished Deadwood, and I watched the Deadwood movie, too.
Awesome. I don't think I've seen the Deadwood movie, but I watched the series, and I fucking love that series. Ian McShane will always be that character to me.
Yeah, he's incredible. Totally good. Then I started watching True Blood.
I was not a fan. Shelby is a huge fan of True Blood, but I watched the first season, and I found the supporting characters more interesting than the lead characters.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't do enough of them.
I'm enjoying it so far. It's all right, you know?
Yeah.
And then I started watching Luther.
Oh, that's good. Idris Elba.
Wow, what a great TV show.
He's so good in that.
Idris Elba is so good in that.
When you see him in that and The Wire, and you see how poorly they use him in other films, it makes me angry. Like,
yeah.
he was in the Alien Prometheus movie. He was in that whole cast was used poorly. That's a shit film. And then in the Star Trek, they put all that makeup on and made him an alien. It was like, what the right. fuck, man? You got Idris Elba. Come on now.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite actors, man. But it's a really good show. And then I also started watching Rome.
I've never seen that, but I've been told that I would like it and I should watch
Pretty good, man.
Yeah.
It's close to the history, but not totally, you know?
Yeah.
They did stuff to make it more dramatic, I guess. Then I watched Dark Crimes.
Dark Crimes.
What a fucking wild film, man.
2016. Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey plays a police officer, not a comedy.
Weird.
The thing made like $26,000. He plays a Polish police officer trying to solve these murders in this a sex dungeon. Definitely not his normal casting.
They should have just branded it Ace Ventura 3 and people would have went to see it.
Yeah, but he is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, really good.
Yeah, I've never got... I'm trying to think of his dramatic films and really... oh my God, what's...
Man on the Moon?
Man on the Moon. But what else, what's his... The Love Story one?
Eternal Sunshine?
Yeah, that's the one that I always remember the most.
Yeah, he's great. I forget it. Totally great in that. But yeah, then I rewatched Fire in the Sky.
I saw that. I saw that back in the day when it came out, and it terrified the fuck out of me.
Yeah, I saw it in the movie theater.
Yeah, it's about an alien abduction, and I'm trying to remember the guy that plays him. But it's so good because it's so horrific about him being thrown on the table and all this shit happening and nobody believing him and him feeling like he's losing his mind.
Yeah, and then all of his friends are trying to, they're going after them. The police are.
Yeah.
You know? But that was fun. And then I saw See No Evil.
See No Evil.
So this is Mia Farrow, right after, what is that devil movie? Rosemary's Baby. This is really good. She's blind, and this guy is killing everyone in her house.
Oh, yes. I think I've seen this.
Really good film, man. Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of surprised. I've never really heard about it.
I think I saw it somewhere free, so that's how I saw it.
Yeah, but she does a great job. Just magnificent actor in this. Just fun. Then I watched Siberia with Keanu Reeves. This is something you can skip.
What is this about?
Well, he's like a diamond dealer, and he goes over to Russia to get these diamonds, and it's bad, dude.
I love when you pull up a movie and it said related questions. What is the point of Siberia movie?
Yeah.
Box office is only $636,000. Wow.
It was a money grab. It was a money grab, you know.
That is so wild. Oh my God, what a turd. But free on Tubi if you want to, anyone wants to check it out.
Yeah, if you want to be dumb like me. Then I watched The Witches of Eastwick.
Oh man, I saw that back in the day. I haven't seen
it. I've never seen it before. It's totally fun.
Yeah. 87? Yeah. God damn, we're old. But I remember just like how hot Michelle Pfeiffer, Susan Sarandon, and Cher were in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Then I watched Dog Eat Dog.
Dog Eat Dog.
Don't sleep on this one.
2016?
Nicolas Cage and Willem Dafoe.
Oh, yes.
Dude, you gotta see, it's definitely, I mean, you're a Cage fan.
Yeah.
And this is free.
Yeah, it's on Tubi.
You have no excuse not to watch this.
Man, box office on this was $184,000. What the hell? 2016.
I mean, It was probably they didn't promote it, you know.
Yeah.
But I had fun. It's Nick Cage at his best.
Oh, see, me, best Nick Cage is Mandy.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It takes a lot to get prepared to watch that movie.
Oh, yeah. Mandy's good. And so is The Color Space.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. You have to be in a mindset to see that.
Then yesterday I watched Downfall.
Oh yeah, the very memed downfall of Hitler's responding to everything. Hey, can we take a break for a second?
Yeah, you want to start over?
I'm just going to pause and I got to run to the bathroom real quick. And we're back.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Oh.
So what else have you been watching?
I've been watching a couple of the documentaries on Shudder. This is found footage about the history of found footage movies. I know you're not a fan, but it's interesting to kind of dip in to see all the different ones and how people analyze them. I'm a big fan of like of people comparing of horror movies that are successful at certain times, what makes them successful and why. And the way things kind of pivot in horror, especially because like the beginning of the internet, we had the Blair Witch Project was cool because no one could confirm what was really true or not in that.
Right.
But then it was interesting because they get into like a post 9/11 analysis of horror. They're like, that's when we had people on the streets who had captured 9/11 and you know, suddenly this was like not just like, you know, news camera footage of an accident or something. We saw real shit, real people die, and kids that grew up with that, the horror for them had to be more intense to be horrific. So that what that's kind of why you saw a rise in gore. Was it, I want to say gore porn, but it's more like now I'm spacing out on the kind of movies that they
body watch. Horror porn,
torture porn,
torture porn. Yeah, like yeah.
What was that? Now I'm gonna have to look one up.
Oh, Jigsaw, Saw.
Shit.
Well, Saw is torture porn.
Yeah. Of course, Google just says, oh, you're looking for Pornhub. No, torture porn movies.
Well, that's what they expect you to type in.
Hostel. That's what I was trying to think of as a fucking Hostel movie.
Yeah, Hostel.
Human Centipede.
Yeah, Hostel's pretty torture porn.
And the movie I will always regret watching, a Serbian film.
Yeah.
Never. I warned you, man. That was what I warned you about. But that's but like found footage, apparently, like the cool part of it is they go back and they find a guy who had shot a film back in 89 about space aliens arriving. And so he was like, going to make this movie. And this guy goes, well, I'll give you like $6,500. And he's like, well, shit, what can I make with $6,500? And he makes this movie that kind of like stayed underground for a long time, but it even had UFO people thinking it was real. So that's how good it was for back then. And so they had UFO researchers commenting on it because they were like, well, you know, at the time it looked very legitimate. You know, they're trying to validate their. So, you know, that's what I enjoy about the documentary. And plus, as it goes on, it kind of gets into different things like the Paranormal Activity films, which were fun because like I went to go see that with my stepson, Spencer, because we love like Saw and all those movies. And so I think I went to go see that by myself. He had gone to see it and he said the best part of the movie is as it progresses along. Is watching people walk out because I'm in there and I get into kind of a central seat so I can watch people exit, and there were like maybe 20 people in there. But there was a grandmother who brought her two kids in to watch Paranormal Activity, and they stayed for half the film. So I love the kind of experience in a theater that I just haven't gotten in a long time of seeing a horror film and those kinds of reactions where people just will walk out. Because I've seen that a couple of times. Like I remember when Ghost in the Shell, the animated film, came out in the 80s, and everyone was like, oh, it's a cartoon. And it's like, no, it's not a cartoon. And I remember seeing a mom and her two kids walk out of the theater of that because it was just too intense and not what I think she thought a cartoon was going to be.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I watched This is Gwar. We talked a little bit about this off air, that you had been to a couple of Gwar concerts.
Sure.
Yeah, and I knew their music. I knew like how their stage show was. It was more legendary than anything. But this was like a whole history of the band, people who had come and gone, people who had passed away, how it came about. But it was in Richmond, Virginia. That's where it started at. But it had a lot of ties to Dallas because they had a lot of people. There were a lot of people here who pursued the band and tried to be in the band. And so it was interesting to see those pieces as it went along. It's probably one of the best music documentaries I've seen in a long time, because it was just very thorough. Everyone who shared their story, like, just shared it on film, and it was very intense, a lot of tears. And Gwar is amazing. Like, I didn't know these guys really were just like comic book D&D nerds,
right?
And they said, well, you know, really, I got in. They would, each one kind of had a story of like, well, I got in it to make comics. I got in it to make movies. And then somewhere along the way, I got in to make music. And that's where it went. And so I got to see where else this is showing, because I know it's on Shudder, but it's probably my best recommendation. Oh, it's on AMC.
Yeah.
If you have premium, YouTube or Roku, it's on there. But yeah, all these different people who were big fans of Gwar come on and talk about it. Weird Al, Bam Margera, because like when he did Viva La Bam, like he said MTV would give him $300,000 an episode. And he goes, oh, I would just build a skate park. I would have Gwar come and perform at my house. You know, he would just do weird ass shit. So Alex Winter is in that documentary a lot, and Ethan Embry, because Empire Records kind of profiled Gwar.
Yeah, definitely. So what else have you been watching?
That's pretty much it.
Okay, now we have the news.
Let's go in.
George Romero's Twilight of the Dead is going to be directed by Brad Anderson.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about this. If this is the last George Romero, it shouldn't be, I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah, I can't judge anything, but it's weird to have someone else do his film. What else? What are the movies he's done? He looks like a young kid, but he's 59. Jesus. The Machinist, The Call, Fractured, like Session 9. Now, that's a really great fucking movie.
Yeah.
That's an underrated movie, and he directed that. So, okay, I'm in.
Deadpool 3 is going to have Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth.
It's so wild that like Deadpool is going after all the bad Marvel movies and bringing those characters back, because he was in the worst Wolverine movie. He's getting Jennifer Garner to come back to play Elektra, and I'm there for it, because if it's just going to be funny and goofs and the actors are in on it, then I'm excited.
There's going to be a new National Treasure movie with Nick Cage and Keanu Reeves.
I'm not a fan of the series. I don't.
No, me neither.
Yeah, my buddy Terry loves it though. Like he's a big fan. So you know, hey, if there are fans out there digging it, more power to Cage.
So next week we're gonna watch Hillbillies in the Haunted House from 1967.
Yes, one of the key films in Joe Bob's list of how the Redneck Saves Hollywood.
Yeah, so definitely check that out, and we'll see you next time on the show.
See ya.
Bye-bye.